Today, the President of the United States spoke in Washington before the 8th National Conference on Citizenship. ABC now brings you transcribed highlights of Mr. Truman's remarks. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
It's a very great pleasure for me to be here this morning. And I'm glad to join in welcoming this conference to Washington. I'm strongly in favor of what you're doing here to help the people of this country to become citizens. The citizen's job is an important one. It is the most important job in this great republic. The job of being an American citizen, a citizen of the United States of America, keeps growing more difficult and more important every day. In some countries, the important decisions are made by the rulers, and the citizens have to do what they're told. In our country, the citizens make the basic decisions, and the officials of the government have to do what the people tell them sometimes. There's a great deal of serious business before the government of this country now. This business concerns our national defense and our national survival. Important decisions have to be made by the Congress, the President, and the country, and they must be made soon. These decisions ought to be above petty politics, because the welfare of the country depends upon them. Citizens should understand the facts. You know, the hardest thing in the world to find is a real fact. And the easiest thing to do is to garble and confuse the facts. I repeat that. The easiest thing in the world to do is to garble and confuse the facts. We have a great deal of that going on right now. There's a lot of discussion nowadays about military strategy. That's all right. Military strategy is important, and everybody ought to be concerned about it. But I want to say to you that our Defense Department is headed by the ablest group of men that this or any other country ever had for planning and carrying out its defense policy. But there are a lot of other problems that are equally important. We have hard problems of defense production, the problem of taxes, the problem of stabilization. These are just examples of a few of the problems that we have. Unless we face these problems, we won't be able to have any military strategy at all. And no matter how able our Defense Department men may be, there won't be anything to plan for. The danger we face is very serious. The most dangerous we've ever faced in all our time. Our country faces the danger of war from an aggressive and imperialistic foreign power. Meeting this danger is all important. And to meet that danger, we should all stand together. I think that some people fail to realize that this threat is very real. They think there is still time to play petty politics. That's a terribly dangerous attitude. We must all get together behind a program adequate to meet the perils we face. We must get together now, without waiting and without playing petty politics. The defense program comes first. That's our first and greatest problem. Our defense program and defense production must come ahead of everything else. If we let our defense program get snarled up or delayed or slashed, we would be courting disaster. A suggestion was made by one senator the other day that we ought to cut down the goal for our armed forces by 500,000 men. And this same senator wants to go for an all-out war in China all by ourselves. At a time like this, such a cut would be foolish. Not only foolish, it would be most dangerous. Slashing the size of our armed forces would not be economy. it would be an invitation to war. Let me drive that home. What we are attempting to do now, in the next year and a half, we anticipate may cost about $60 billion. An expenditure over a year and a half which may ward off World War III. 1 week of all-out war would cost from 10 to 20 times that. Which is the sanest expenditure? Do you have to have that brought home to you to say what you think is the sanest expenditure? Now, in addition to that defense program of ours, we must work with our allies. We must have friends in this troubled world. Yet some senators and some other people would have us go it alone. In this world of ours, in this day, we can't go it alone. There's a free world and there's a slave world. We belong to the free world and we are the head of the free world, and we've got to accept that responsibility and carry out that responsibility. Our defense program has two parts. One part is building up our own armed forces and our national strength. The other is helping our allies build up their strength so they can do their share in preventing war and stopping aggression. But these parts of our defense program, both these parts of our defense program are essential to our security. Unless we help our allies, we might have to face the real danger alone. Unless our allies are strong, the Kremlin might take them over, and the danger of war would increase. Without allies, our defense would be more difficult and more costly. More costly in dollars, and what is much more important, more costly in lives. There is no economy in slashing our foreign aid program. Penny pinching now may mean throwing away the lives of our soldiers later on. One of the reasons we're in this condition is because we didn't accept our responsibility immediately after the war was over. In 1945, a universal service law was asked for by the President of the United States. That universal service law passed in 1945 or early in 1946 would have saved billions of dollars now. The people who prevented the enactment of the universal service law in 1945 are trying by every means in their at their command to prevent it now. We must not let them prevent it because it is essential to the safety of the world and to our own safety. We must have a stabilized economy. Next to our defense program, the most important thing is economic stabilization. Economic stabilization means preventing inflation. And this includes price control, wage control, and rent control. All these controls expire on June 30th, just 6 weeks from now. The Congress is now considering whether these controls should be extended for another 2 years. Of course they have to be extended. If they're not, our whole economy will be in great danger, and every family in the country will suffer. The inflationary pressures will increase. Pressure on prices have eased off a little lately, but these pressures will come back stronger than ever in the next few months. Now, if we're going to control prices, the Congress has got to say, and say it in no uncertain terms, that it wants prices controlled. Every special interest in the country is in Washington, or on its way, to lobby for a little exception to itself. And most of them can make out a pretty good case for themselves. There are enough special interest fellows appearing before the Senate Finance Committee to run the hearings well into June. The public interest fellows are not being heard because they don't know what's happening. Now, you public interest people better get here and look after your interests. It would be nice to give these private interest fellows, some exceptions. But we can't have a lot of exceptions and still have effective price control. If we handed out all the exceptions that are asked for, price control would be just like a sieve, and the tide of inflation would pour through it. I don't think some of these special interest fellows understand what had happened if we had all-out inflation. But when they come here and ask for special interest, that's what they're asking for, all-out inflation. Now, you consumers should make a strong demand for price control. We're not going to be able to hold the cost of living against the tremendous inflationary pressures ahead unless we have a good, strong price control law and a good, strong rent control law. If you want that kind of law, if you, the consumers of this country, want Congress to provide a strong price control system, you'd better see and you'd better write to your congressman. You see things in the paper, write your president, and I get 40,000 letters a day as a result of that on special occasions. But I'm saying to you... I'm saying to you right now, you better let your congressman know where you stand. You better see him and tell him about it while you're here. Tell him you want a price control that'll work. We don't want to injure anybody with price control or any other control. We want an equitable control that'll be fair to everybody. Producer, middleman, and consumer. That's what we're working for. The special interests in the lobbies will wreck this stabilization program as sure as you're born, unless the main body of our citizens of this country get busy and do something about it, and that's what I'm urging you to do. Now, I don't think people ought to have any trouble agreeing on the national interest. I think everybody, every citizen, is a patriot, and that he believes that the national interest comes first. And at a time like this, when some of our young men are fighting and dying to stop communist aggression, and when so many of our boys face a period of military service to prepare for whatever may lie ahead, it ought to be easy for this country to get together in unity of spirit and action. It ought to be the easiest thing in the world to agree upon a good defense program and a good foreign aid program and a sound program to hold down the cost of living. But it's not easy. It's one of the most difficult things with which any president has ever been faced. I'm going to face it, and with your help, I'm going to put it over. Now we must get the facts to the people. And that's hard to do. One of the main reasons, I think, is that most of our citizens, those who do the fighting and pay the bills and keep the country going, are just too occupied to make their voices heard. If they had all the facts and their representatives in Washington knew how they felt, I don't think we'd have so much trouble with these great problems. If you can develop ways of keeping our citizens better informed, of helping them to understand the increasing duties of their citizenship, I have no doubt that this country will make the right decisions and that those decisions will lead the world to a just and lasting peace, and that's what we all want.
You have just heard transcribed highlights of a speech delivered earlier today by the President of the United States before the 8th National Conference on Citizenship, sponsored by the Department of Justice and the National Education Association, meeting in Washington. This program came to you from the nation's capital. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.